DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia is playing lowly UMass on Saturday, and Sanford Stadium apparently is not the place to be. This a week after Georgia seemingly hosted about as long a list of distinguished recruits as you can possibly host, and by all indications, it really went well for most of the people who were on hand last week seeing the big show as Georgia beat Auburn 27-10. It is a major, and I mean major, step down in terms of interest this week, so much so that some of Georgia's top recruiting targets are now going elsewhere for Saturday, and I guess while Georgia fans watch their team hopefully walk all over UMass, there may be a little nail-biting, there may be, you know, keeping it close to the forum at forum.dognation.com or Jeff Sintel's Twitter feed or dognation.com just to make sure nothing bad happens with some of the other guys that have chosen to go elsewhere for this particular Saturday. Let me try to do my part to get you up to date on all the news, and then we'll talk to Jeff Sintel about this later on, and I'll also squeeze my opinion in on the meantime here. Let me start with Georgia's arguably top commit, certainly one of the leaders of this class for Georgia, one of the top players in the entire country, a guy who's been in the argument to be the number one player in the board for the class 2019, Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is apparently going to be in Knoxville on Saturday for the game against Missouri. The reason why we know this is one of his IMG Academy teammates tweeted this. If you're watching, I'll show you this on the screen. I'll also read it to you. He says, "The number one player in the country is coming with me to Rocky Top this weekend. He wants to see what makes Tennessee so special. So Vol Nation, let's show Nolan Smith some real love." Nolan Smith kind of tweets on top of that, "Let's rock, bro." So not only is Nolan going to Tennessee, he's apparently excited about it, and apparently Vol Nation, the Vols for Life, are getting excited about putting on a big show for Nolan Smith there. So there is that, and in addition to that, there is also a Nolan Smith who sends another message to another five-star UGA commit, reaching out to Trayvon Walker, who says, Trayvon Walker, D1 figure is his Twitter account. He says, Trayvon Walker, because Walker is also apparently going to Tennessee this weekend. Smith and Walker, their interaction there on that tweet is also in relationship to another UGA commit, the four-star linebacker Tresman Marshall, who, once again, I'll show you, also let it be known on Twitter that he plans on being at Rocky Top this weekend. He gives you hashtag Go Vols. Now, when guys give that hashtag, they don't mean they're actually cheering for Tennessee or that they're flipping to Tennessee. That's just kind of the way these guys talk about that. When they go there, they kind of use the O-Fish hashtags, and I guess that's one of the ones that Tennessee uses. So you've got Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, Tresman Marshall, all three UGA commits. In the case of Smith and Walker, both five stars. Tresman Marshall is a very high four star. They are all going to be at Tennessee this weekend. But as they say on TV, wait, that's not all. Because in addition to that, Jaden Hazelwood, no longer UGA commit, but still a five star of interest and a major recruiting target for the University of Georgia. Hazelwood lets it be known on his own Twitter feed that he's planning his own visit to Florida State this weekend to go see that dumpster fire down in Tallahassee. But nonetheless, Jaden Hazelwood is taking a visit here as well. So let's kind of regroup here and figure out where we are on all of this. You got Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, Tresman Marshall, and Jaden Hazelwood, and they are all visiting other places here this weekend. Now, the obvious question is, what does this mean for UGA's hopes of either holding on to the three going to Knoxville or regaining some favor with Hazelwood on his way to Tallahassee? Let me give my thoughts about this kind of one by one here for a moment. I'm going to take each recruit by name. When it comes to Trayvon Walker going to Tennessee, let me tell you something. I'm not the least bit worried about that. I don't have any sweat for that. And Walker, by the way, has taken a couple visits as of late. He took a real high-profile visit for an official visit to Florida. Now, Florida got waxed the day he went there, so that maybe not too much to be concerned with on that. He also took, I guess, what, depending on your definition of the word, could be described as a secret visit to South Carolina. Now, it ain't that big of a secret because we're talking about it right now. But nonetheless, he did take a relatively low-profile visit to South Carolina. So he's visited some other places as of late. Obviously, Jeremy Pruitt would love to roll out the red carpet for him when he comes to Tennessee on Saturday. But Trayvon Walker, I believe, is all dog. Let me give you some evidence that I think supports why that's the case. It wasn't that long ago, just in the last couple of months, Jeff Sintel had a chance to talk one-on-one with Trayvon Walker, and he asked him about the nature of the UGA recruitment, or just the nature of the recruitment in general, of which head coach out there, of all the ones that could recruit you, which head coach talks to you the most? And, well, if you're a Georgia fan, you're going to like Trayvon Walker's answer here.
Trayvon, which head coach plays the biggest role in your recruiting right now? right now that stays in contact, Coach Smart.
Really?
Yeah, Coach Smart. He's just like, most of the time when he was on the road, he made sure he get stopped to see me, and he gets on the phone with me just about every week. You know, some head coach you really can't get that from, but he finds time to make for me, so.
Let me keep it real here for 1 second. There's a lot of rumor mill stuff around right now that there are a lot of elite recruits that like to get a little more one-on-one attention from Kirby Smart than they're able to get. Kirby Smart's a busy guy right now. He's talking to the best of the best, the elite of the elite when it comes to five-star guys. His attention is spread kind of thin. The fact that Trayvon Walker not too long ago said, you know what, the head coach that talks to me the most, the head coach that I get the most attention from is Kirby Smart, which indicates there how much Smart believes that Trayvon Walker is an imperative, absolutely rock-solid, crucially important member of Georgia's 2019 class. Would that be the case? You think Walker's going to drift off to Tennessee and be a part of, you know, the whatever's being built from the ground up there by Jeremy Pruitt? Or does he want to be a part of a program that's already on the ascent, like at the University of Georgia? I'm not the least bit worried about Trayvon Walker. I'm also not exactly all that worried about Nolan Smith either. You know, Smith's one of these guys that he likes to flirt around on Twitter and talk about other schools. He likes to take his visits. Ultimately, I think that Smith's probably going to be at the University of Georgia when it's all said and done. I guess on the subject of Jaden Hazelwood, I'm probably not that worried about Hazelwood either, but for a slightly different reason. There's a lot of evidence that suggests that a guy like Trayvon Walker is going to stay solid with his UGA commitment. Hazelwood, who's decommitted from Georgia, I've said for a while that I thought that Hazelwood would eventually drift back towards UGA. And when you had the Hazelwood decommitment and the John Emery Jr. decommitment right around the same time, I said, it feels like Emery may be gone. It feels like Hazelwood may drift his way back here at some point in time. They always just seem like very different situations for me. So with Hazelwood at Florida State, I'm probably not all that worried about that for kind of a weird reason in that I don't get the impression that Hazelwood's that serious about his process right now. I mean, if you want to go back to something that Jeff Sintel's also recently discussed with Jaden Hazelwood, hey, have you seen that Georgia's been throwing the ball around a lot more? I could add to that, in addition to throwing the football a lot more, the Georgia offense has really exploded as of late. But Hazelwood, I think, focused on his own situation there at Cedar Grove and what's been going on with his own team, hasn't had a whole lot of time to pay attention to that kind of stuff. Here's a reminder from Hazelwood on that.
Since you've decommitted, it looks like the program you were committed to is throwing the ball. Have you noticed that? What are your thoughts on it?
I haven't been watching UGA, but fans have been tweeting at me.
They've been telling you.
So I heard they've been throwing the ball more.
That clip also serves as a reminder that our buddy Jeff Sintel has had a cold since about 1987. But nonetheless, you hear Jaden Hazelwood say that, you know, he hasn't really been watching Georgia as of late, but he's heard they've been throwing the ball around a lot more. If he's not watching Georgia, you wonder if he's watching any of these teams all that closely. Florida State's a disaster. The fact that he's even going there would seem to suggest he enjoys a weekend of being entertained more so than a real serious football process, because it could be a while before Florida State's back on the national stage again. So ultimately, Hazelwood being in Tallahassee for me is not really that big of a deal. Which brings me to the final guy. And this one, honesty compels me to admit, I probably am, as a Georgia fan, slightly worried about. Tresman Marshall being at Tennessee, and some of the things that Marshall has said as of late, would seem to suggest this recruitment for Georgia is far from over. That Marshall, who I've heard some really good things about, and who is a very impressive athlete at a position that Georgia is trying to stockpile talent, there is some concern from me on the part of Marshall as he takes his visit to Tennessee. Part of that is the fact that, you know, the ratings and the recruiting services would count Tresman Marshall as a UGA commit, but when you hear Marshall talk, I don't know that that's exactly the way that he sees himself. Here's what he recently told Jeff Sintel in terms of, instead of being only one school left, the school that he's committed to, that Georgia is maybe a part of a top three or maybe possibly part of a top four. Here's Marshall.
I'm really focused on my season, and it's hard to like get into the recruiting and then stay focused on your season, so I'm just... I just feel like it's going to come to me where I want to go. I'm not really looking big into a school. I'm looking for academics. Like, I know a school can give you that at the academics. All four of my schools anyway. Well, three. All three of my schools.
Are there three now? Are there just three?
Yeah, I'm applying to three schools. I'm starting to apply. I started applying this week. The Auburn, Tennessee, and Georgia. So, I'm still looking at Florida State, but right now they're my three. And if it changed, I'll let you know, but I don't know right now.
So that sounds to me like a guy that a school like Tennessee could make some room with, make some headway with over the course of a visit this weekend. And with the situation with N'Kobe Dean, far from settled. If anything, Alabama may be, you know, if you base, you know, you listen to what you hear on the internet, Alabama may even still have a slight lead for N'Kobe Dean. That linebacker position is an issue for Georgia to deal with. And I don't know that the Tresman Marshall situation is anywhere near lockdown for right now. So of the four high profile guys taking visits this weekend, I think there's reasons not to worry about the three, at least all that much, but maybe a significant reason to worry about Tresman Marshall. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about that in just a moment. But to kind of wrap up this entire discussion, listen, if you're a Georgia fan and you want to see your program swim in the deepest recruiting waters possible, you want to see it go after the most elite recruits it can possibly get, you got to be willing to tolerate some visits. I think this situation is no different than any other year. The best recruits are going to generate a lot of interest from other programs. And as Kirby Smart says, Georgia sells itself. And for most of these guys, I think that Georgia will continue to sell itself even when they're visiting other campuses. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Thank you for being with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter feed, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, including the world-famous DogNation.com, the Apple Podcast Player, and everything else. We're just really glad for you making Dog Nation Daily part of your day here today. And huge thanks for Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. And don't forget, they've got a huge game changer when it comes for dinner. You can get two medium, two-topping pizzas from Marco's at a great everyday value of just $6.99 each. So order yours today from Marco's.com. We will get Jeff Sintel coming up in just a moment. I gave you some of the news. Jeff will give you more of his insight and analysis on these four guys visiting other places and some of the other stuff that's out there when it comes to a UGA recruiting as of late. We'll do all that with Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. Jeff also wrote a great Sintel Intel piece about something that's happened on the field as of late for Georgia with Eric Stokes sliding into some playing time at cornerback at the expense right now of Tyson Campbell. We'll ask Jeff to kind of get into that more with us here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let's get ready to talk more about Georgia's game against UMass on Saturday. And, you know, listen, obviously you have to strain your imagination to find a reason and a way this game is interesting, but there will be some things I think that'll be interesting for UGA fans to see, especially with bigger games looming the next 2 weeks. The in-state rival Georgia Tech next Saturday, the SEC championship against Alabama, the big one to be on that on December 1st. How focused will Georgia be on Saturday? Well, Kirby Smart says it's the team leaders that will make sure that the focus for the Minutemen does not wane, that the attention's where it's supposed to be.
I think that's leadership. I think we'll find out a lot about our team this week because it's never about who we're playing. I mean, for you guys, it's about who we're playing. But that's, I told y'all every week that it's not about Florida. It's not about Kentucky. It's not really about them. It's just about how we work because we worry about us. And then that way, when you get to this week, it's not different.
Yeah, so listen, I think that's what Georgia fans love. They love the idea of the consistent approach week to week, and I would have no doubt that Georgia will do the same thing come Saturday. The Dogs' offense has been humming as of late, but the situation at quarterback remains intriguing. How much will Justin Fields play? Played a good bit against Auburn on Saturday, but not always all that well. Will we see more of him and better results against UMass? Kirby Smart also addressed his freshman quarterback this week, too.
I see him growing. I see him getting opportunities to manage the game a little more. You got to see him do it probably a little more this time than he has before. And he had some freshman deals. I mean, he had the shot clock run out on him, and he had the scramble play that he'll be the first to tell you. He should have thrown it away. But, you know, those are things that we see him do right in practice. We put time constraints on him, and he manages it well. And he's made a lot of really good decisions in practice to throw the ball away. He didn't in the game. So, I mean, those are things he's got to grow from, and he will. And he continues to get better.
Fields not the only freshman who's going to learn and grow maybe in this UMass game on Saturday. It's been fascinating to watch what's happening in the UGA secondary. I referenced Tyson Campbell going out, the redshirt freshman Eric Stokes coming in against Auburn. There was also an interesting scenario where Otis Reese got his first start, played a good bit there in that defensive secondary. He is a good-looking future safety prospect. And this week, Kirby was asked to compare this year's freshman Otis Reese to one of last year's big-time freshman Richard LeCount and the time they're splitting there at the safety position. This could be a fun position battle to watch a little bit on Saturday, and Kirby Smart kind of weighed in on what he likes about both those guys.
Yeah, it's really not a rotation as much as it is personnel based. So depending on what the other team's in, we play one or the other of the safeties. Otis is getting better. Richard is actually getting better. The best thing for Richard has been Otis's growth. So I think that the motivation and the competition has made Richard better.
this may be one of those games on Saturday where you get your binoculars out, your program out, and the final score should not be really all that dramatic whatsoever. But the guys who are in the game, the guys who are getting the most playing time, seeing young guys to continue to grow and develop at all the various positions, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that could be a fun thing to watch come Saturday. And it'll be a great time to be in Sanford Stadium, especially for many of you like me who plan on taking some young kids to a game, which is probably a little bit more favorable for young kids. With that in mind, let me transition here to our Kroger checklist. Busy weekend for us here around Dog Nation and also for UGA as well. It starts tonight with UGA basketball after dropping a game to Temple early in the week. Come back to a Stegman Coliseum to take on Sam Houston State tonight. And then tomorrow, we'll be live on our Kroger kickoff from the Tate parking deck right next to Sanford Stadium starting around 1:30 p.m. as the dog walk gets going there. We'll bring you coverage of that. And then the Dogs and the Minutemen starting at 4 p.m. On the SEC Network. And then after the game, and also you can hear on the radio on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And then after the game, we'll be live at the UGA Bookstore for our Northside Hospital postgame show. Myself, Cameron Nieslick, Jeff Sintel stopping by as well. And, of course, don't forget, speaking of the UGA Bookstore, tomorrow a big autograph signing there at the bookstore. Nick Chubb coming by to sign autographs. So go before the game to the UGA Bookstore. You can see the great former Georgia running back Nick Chubb on hand there. Huge thanks to Kroger for bringing the Kroger checklist to us here each and every Friday on Dog Nation Daily. Kroger invites you to say hello to lower prices at your local Atlanta Kroger. Look for the yellow tags on every aisle for the lowest prices of the week on some of your favorite items. Good to have you on the program. Let's talk to Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. A lot of recruiting stuff we want to get into with Jeff. I started the show by talking about some of this, Jeff. I guess let me dive in, get some of your thoughts here as well. Before that, let me say hello and thanks for being with us. But we addressed Nolan Smith, Tresman Marshall, Trayvon Walker, Jaden Hazelwood, all taking visits this weekend. What's your reaction to kind of covering a lot of this news that a lot of these guys are going to be entertained by, in one case, a huge Georgia rival, in another case, a regional power? What do you make of all this?
Hold on, regional power? Who are you talking about there, Brandon? Are you talking about Central Florida?
I mean over the last 30 years. Certainly fair and granted to say not exactly a power at the moment, but Florida State's, I guess, been that way in the over the last 30 years or so. But it's certainly fair to say they have fallen in hard times right now.
It's all right, man. It's all good. We're having fun on Friday. I'm just probably saying what every other one of your listeners were doing about
there is
regional
no
power.
Doubt about, yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
I would say, you know, to me, I just think this is the way I look at it. I think that Jaden needing a final official visit. He's already taken three. He's taken one to Miami. He's taken one to Auburn. He's taking this one to Florida State. He's still going to take the one to Georgia for the Georgia Tech game. I just kind of think with Hazelwood, this is one of those schools that he's been thinking. When he asked about where else he needs to visit and where else he might visit, Florida State just kind of seems like one of those amongst the group with Miami, Florida State, Georgia, Auburn, and Oklahoma amongst his five visits that he does get. As for Trayvon, Tresman, and Nolan, I just think that's par for the course. I think maybe a lot of people, if they want something to worry about or grind their teeth about in the month of November besides their Christmas lights on their house, Nolan is a guy, most folks need to watch all the IMG guys. Their season's over. They're down there in Bradenton. They're all planning to enroll early and be mid-year enrollees wherever they plan to go. So I think a lot of them, they have a lot of idle weekends left in the month of November, and a lot of them haven't taken any of their official visits up to this point because their national schedule and their travel season has been so crowded. I just think that it's fairly unique that Tresman, Trayvon, and Nolan all decide to go visit Tennessee at the same time together. Of course, that makes Jeremy Pruitt look good in front of his alumni and boosters and administration, and he can get those big recruits in there. I think with Nolan, that's probably a nod to Kevin Shearer, who recruited him for so long when Kevin Shearer was the outside linebackers coach at Georgia.
Okay, so it's kind of funny. I want to deal with a couple things you just said there, but in the case of the three guys going to Tennessee, you lumped all three in the same category. I kind of separated one from the other two. I completely agree with you on Trayvon Walker. Georgia's shown him enough love. I ain't the least bit worried about him. Nolan Smith is a little bit of a mercurial figure, but when it's all said and done, I think he's still going to end up at Georgia as well. Depending on your opinion here, I think the Tresman Marshall is the one that could be potentially swayed in an event like this. Now, maybe if he's hanging out the whole time with Trayvon and Nolan, that certainly helps the cause here. But Tresman Marshall gave you some quotes not that long ago that certainly don't fill Dog fans who want Marshall as part of this 2019 class, don't exactly fill that group with hope. So with Marshall up in Knoxville this weekend, I mean, that is one that I would have to say that I think might have a chance to fly away if the right series of words get spoken.
Yeah, well, Tresman's another guy that doesn't have anything to do in January. He has to move on. He doesn't have any more classes left to take in Clinch County after he completes a chance for another state title there for Clinch County and the Panthers. I think it's funny because I remember Tresman telling me that's the weekend of the Florida game. If he's like, well, Tennessee and Auburn both recruit him harder than Georgia does, but. He's only applying to three schools, Georgia, Auburn, and Tennessee. And Georgia was the application he filled out first. And I was like, well, who recruits you the hardest? And he brought up that it wasn't a school which recruits him the hardest. He said, Nolan Smith recruits me the hardest about sticking with Georgia and staying with Georgia. So while Georgia is not going to be on that official visit with all those guys to Tennessee, at least someone who represents the Bulldog Nation and Georgia's interests will be there with him. And I can see where everybody's wondering about class size, early enrollees, how many guys can Georgia get in, the inside linebacker group at Georgia, and the Kobe Dean, Rhea Davis, you know, Ryan Davis. I see all those variables there that you're trying to put together. But you're right, there's a little bit more of a worry factor there with Marshall up in Knoxville. But I think also the fact that he'll have his boys there with him, those two are always together. They're, like, connected when they're at Georgia game day visits together. Seems like they run things around the recruiting bleachers. So I think that will be a good kind of counteraction to whatever Jeremy Pruitt and the Volunteers are cooking up there for Tresman Marshall.
And then let me follow up on Jaden Hazel. I want to try to make this quick because we've talked about him 9 million times. But let me ask you two things based on what you said and based on what I kind of said about Hazelwood before you joined us. A, how serious is he about his process right now? When you listen to him say that he hasn't been watching Georgia as of late, it makes you think that he may be more focused on what's going on at Cedar Grove, what has been going on there, and that maybe he's pushing off the, I guess, final deadline for his decision for a later time here. And if he is getting serious, what are the chances that a secret contender, a team that we haven't talked about before, we've talked about Auburn, there's reason to think that he wouldn't go there. We're talking about Florida State right now. That program, as you pointed out rightly, is a mess. I'm telling you right now, these kids don't go west of Mississippi and stay happy, so I believe you can eliminate Oklahoma from this discussion. What are the chances that a secret contender, a team that's a threat to Georgia that we haven't talked about, could kind of emerge around the chicken coop here, as Lee Corso used to say? What are the chances something like that could happen?
You mean the secret contender as in the Tennessee Vols that everyone asks us about on the forum? Or, I mean, I think with Jaden, he's going to get to the point where he's vetted a lot of his options. He knows what he's looking for. And, I mean, goodness, if he can talk about the thing that he might not like about Georgia is wanting them to throw the ball a little bit more and take more shots downfield, I'm sure he might leave the Florida State game this weekend with a laundry list of issues, basically about how Florida State can possibly set the edge with its decimated offensive line that it's finishing out the 2018 season with, and then who's going to be the quarterback there for Florida State going forward. I think those are all really good questions. I know that Florida State is picking up a talented 2019 quarterback as well in Sam Howell, but I think the Seminoles, I think one thing Jaden's looking for is the right fit, and I don't know if Florida State, since it is kind of departed from its regional power status of late, I don't know how Florida State fits everything that Jaden's looking for.
Yeah, that's certainly fair to say. Let me talk about something different for a moment, or I guess it's somewhat connected to this. I love the process of recruiting, and we saw this week Georgia sign way into the future non-conference matchups with Texas and Clemson. They'll do those as home and homes as opposed to neutral sites, which means if we're all still lucky enough to be here in 2028 and 2029 and 2030, whichever the exact years are, Georgia will be hosting Clemson, hosting Texas. Are we getting to the point now, Jeff? You know, everybody thinks about these non-conference games as being crucial for playoff resumes and getting into the postseason. But when it comes to recruiting, are we getting to the point where now these games are crucial to get recruits on your campus? Because when you have a game like UMass on Saturday, you can't get kids to come to the game because even if it's Missouri-Tennessee, that's still a better game, more fun, better atmosphere, better juice around that than Georgia versus UMass. Are the non-conference cupgate games now becoming almost passe, less about the playoff and more about the fact that recruits just don't want to see those?
Yeah, here's a good thing, and this kind of, I guess, meshes with a point you made earlier about that in an earlier show this month about the Georgia-Florida game and that rivalry and Coach Smart feeling that that was a lost weekend for recruiting. I kind of really feel this weekend is a lost weekend for recruiting for Georgia, at least in terms of the 2019 and maybe even the 2020 class. I think this is a weekend where a lot of the 2021 and 2022 prospects will show up, get a little bit more attention, get a little bit more front row seat type feel to everything going on. And, you know, the thing that I think of when I heard that Texas game was officially booked was I kind of think of that projecting out to 2028, 2029, 2030 as to what it happens now when Alabama goes into Texas for those kickoff classic games, especially like 2 or 3 years ago. That was like year 8, 9, 10 of the Saban dynasty there at Alabama. And that's probably a good conjecture point to where Kirby Smart will be at Georgia. I think the Bulldogs will be firmly entrenched as a national power and as a national player by then. I think maybe Brandon Adams will have written a book and will be signing it at the UGA bookstore by then. maybe. But I really see that's a good game, the home and away's there. That's a game that everyone will want to come to. And I think what I mean by that, by comparing it to like the Saban arc right there, is I think that will help Georgia a lot with big-time prospects in the state of Texas as well, as Georgia by that time should very well be a national recruiting program and not just a regional or just within the SEC's immediate footprint.
So let me ask you this. We're going to get lost in the weeds here, and I got some more business I got to take care of. So in I believe it's 2029 that they're scheduled to play Clemson and Texas in the same year. Do you think that's really going to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question because I mean I think they're both of them in September as well. And you know, we've seen this before, Brandon. This is so far out. Remember that Ohio State series that was supposedly going to happen and that one got bought out as well. I mean, that's one of those to think about 10 years down the road. I mean, who really knows what college football will look like by then? Will it be an 18 playoff? Will it be a 16-team playoff? I think by then, the lure of having a tremendous game like that one right there will be like important, because maybe the losing one game during the regular season won't matter as much with the benefits of a playoff. We don't even know if Georgia and the SEC will have a 10-game schedule by that point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You wrote a few weeks ago from John Emery Jr.'s own mouth that the depth chart and the competition at running back was the reason why he decommitted from Georgia and opened up his recruitment at the time. Now it's LSU. The Emery camp has given more interviews over the last couple of days, which essentially only accentuates and amplifies what you had reported like 2 weeks ago. What do you make of the fact that more of this is now coming out, though, and the message isn't really changing from your initial report that Emery didn't like the depth chart at Georgia? I said on the show earlier this week that maybe Emery knew then what we've all learned now is that DeAndre Swift, when healthy, is one of the best backs in the country. Elijah Holyfield's pretty dadgum good on his own, and heaven knows what Zamir White's going to be like once he gets healthy again. Is this truly a case of Emery seeing the writing on the wall when many of us maybe at the time hadn't quite noticed that yet? Or is he hiding some sort of other story here?
Ooh, Brandon, you are deep in the weeds there. I guess I got to get my bushwhack Rakondo saber and kind of chop through some weeds here. Here's what I think, Brandon. I think that it is hard enough to pull a player out of LSU as it is. even if it's Dale McGee, even if it's the running back situation at Georgia. When LSU got strong and healthy this season, I think that was a major factor as well, not just this depth chart. I think the depth chart situation here, Brandon, and this is the nicest way I can say that, I think the depth chart is a nice public face on the reason why John Emery might have decided to stay home to play for LSU.
Yeah, and ultimately I think what you just said is the right thing here, and to a certain extent I don't fault Emery for feeling this way. Louisiana is a hard state to get folks to leave from. There is a lot of gravitational pull to go to the in-state school because LSU is just different in the fact that it's got a whole state to itself, right? I mean, in terms of having enough 4- and 5-star prospects in-state to be competitive, every other state's got to share those with other places. LSU doesn't have to do that, so therefore the pull of playing for your own state school is just stronger there. It's really a testament to Saban that he's broken that bond as much as he has. But for the most part, going into Louisiana, it's a tough place to go.
Yeah, well, let's face it. I know lots of people. I know Dog Nation is a very invested program, but I think Georgia is at least about 2 or 3 of those crystal trophies away from being the type of head coach that Nick Saban is, and also the type of program that Alabama is right now. I mean, Georgia's doing great. I mean, but I would also say the degree of difficulty there would be like LSU pulling out a top flight 5-star running back. From Macon or from Valdosta or from Albany or Augusta, places like that, if those players were really wanted by Georgia as well. Just really hard to do when there is a dominant SEC program with a fervent fan base like the way LSU is.
All right, let me get a couple other issues here before we let you go here on this Friday. I've been seeing some online chatter as of late. Obviously, everyone seems to think that the Tyreek Stevenson official visit went really well. We saw enough photos and videos to see that he was getting some red carpet treatment from UGA. But that has seemingly only meant that the in-city pressure there down in Miami has really turned up on him, and that Miami is not going to let this thing go without a fight. They're going to try to hold on to opportunities to entertain him very late in the process, mid-December, going into that early signing period. Jeff, what do you make here of this down-to-the-wire battle for a player that I believe that Georgia really wants, and I know for a fact Georgia really needs, and a city like Miami, a school like Miami, that does want to let him go without a fight? Is this going to be bare-knuckled between Coach Richt and Coach Smart before it's all said and done?
Yeah, that'll be interesting, Brandon. That's that lure of does a South Florida kid want to get up and out. I know Kenny McIntosh gave us some comments even prior to his official visit. He'd been talking with Tyreek Stevenson about maybe Georgia might be the spot for both of them in the long run. I know Kenny McIntosh really wanted to leave Miami and kind of flap his wings and get out on his own. I think what's very interesting and maybe convenient for those recruiting folks out there is the top of the Dog Nation Before the Hedges board. The top two remaining targets for Georgia are Jaden Hazelwood and Tyreek Stevenson. That's very simple. That's not going to change, and that's not going to change until they conveniently announce on January 5th at the same time from the All-American Bowl in San Antonio. They're going to make their decisions known on national television on January the 5th on NBC. So that's all well and good. The thing to think about there is those young men will still probably have to lock in their decisions or at least let their schools know during the early signing period, December 19, 20, and 21, about where they plan to go. So that's very interesting. I mean, I put a story up today up on the site, pretty active day on the site so far with lots of stories. But the thing here is Georgia and early enrollees. One of our readers on the Dog Nation forum wanted to know what does the early enrollment forecast look like for Georgia. There are already a set number of commitments that plan to be in Georgia for January, and there are already a set number of targets, of which Jaden Hazelwood and Tyreek Stevenson are both two of those targets that also want to enroll early at the school of their choice. So it's very interesting how the number this year for the Bulldogs might reach into the double digits in terms of players that want to enroll early with the program.
Okay, so with that said, let me finish up with a couple things here because I do want to talk about what you've written. And I think this was a real eye-opening statement. And obviously, Rodrigo Blankenship's one of the biggest fan favorites on the team. The ovation that he gets when they announce starting lineups is always – I just love it. It gives me chills to hear people cheer for them the way that they do. But you said in terms of this roster management stuff, when you think about these juniors that go to the NFL, people – and I'm quoting you almost directly here, at least I'm paraphrasing – that people don't talk enough about Rodrigo Blankenship as a guy who at least contemplate giving the NFL a shot after his third year on campus here at the University of Georgia. Jeff, that would be, I think – devastating to a lot of UGA fans because I think they like having one of the best kickers in the country. And but you say that, listen, you know, all bets are off in terms of what 2019 could look like with Blankenship. Do you mind speaking on that for a moment?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just a Rodrigo Blankenship appreciation sentiment, really. I mean, a lot of people start throwing out names, and to me, one of the most likely names for the draft in terms of draft-eligible juniors, I think, is Rodrigo Blankenship, and that's a name that not a lot of people are talking about. Here's why I feel that way. Number one, if you had to give everyone an approval rating or a grade out or performance rating on how well they do their jobs, I would think Rodrigo Blankenship's rating for the 2018 season and even the 2017 season is just about as good as any Bulldog on the team. So that's where that appreciation goes for not just the fan favorite stuff, but he's a really good football player. Let's remember, if he wanted to go pro, he could be his own kickoff guy as well, so that would save a roster spot as well. I see a lot of guys on Sunday that miss kicks and miss big kicks. Even a great kicker like former Auburn kicker Daniel Carson has bounced around to a couple teams already. And the other thing I think about with Rodrigo is just a matter of fact. This is a young man. He is in his third season performing for the Bulldog team, but he's actually been on campus since 2015 as a preferred walk-on. Everybody remembers the kind of early steps of the Rodrigo narrative at Georgia, where he had to walk on as a preferred walk-on, even though he was an Army All-American. And then he earned his scholarship. News of that came out after the big kick at Notre Dame in that locker room. Everybody saw those videos. But he's set to graduate, and I think there's a really – you know, as much as he loves Georgia and much as the Georgia fans love him, you've got to sit there and think about, do I want to go to school for another year and take graduate courses at it for another year in Georgia to get another season? Maybe so. There's going to be a strong pull for there. See Nick Chubb, see Sony Michel. But also there's the fact that the NFL, if he makes a roster, much less gets drafted. I know the list of kickers drafted in the NFL is never long every year. But if he makes an NFL roster, he will get a signing bonus, and he will also get the NFL minimum. That's some real-world things to think about for a guy that this would be his fifth season in Athens at Georgia if he returns for the 2019 season.
Hey, let me do one more thing real quickly here, because the other thing you wrote about in your Centel Intel was Eric Stokes, the way that he played on Saturday in place of Tyson Campbell. I think the Stokes part of this is a great story. Now, I also believe that Campbell himself is still a tremendous prospect, and I believe if he's going to spend some time watching, he's going to learn from watching the same way that he's learned from playing. However, the flip side of that coin is Stokes. I loved your phrasing here. Maybe the poster child for player development. If you're George and you want to say, hey, we took this three-star defensive back that really no one other than Jeremy Pruitt had heard of, and we've turned him into the player that he is right now. Or I guess it wasn't Pruitt that recruited him. You know what I mean. You know, we turned this guy into a player. That is a pretty nice story here. I still think Campbell's got a bright future, but I don't mind watching a little bit of Eric Stokes either.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say on that, Brandon. I think they need an elite DeAndre Baker. I think they need a very good SEC starter in Eric Stokes, and I think they need a very good SEC starter and Tyson Campbell in order to match wins and shadow all those Alabama receivers in that game everybody's thinking about in a couple of weeks. And I think that's, you know, I even wrote in that story, and this is definitely not trying to sound like a hypocritical here or talking out of both sides of my mouth, but a lot of the work I do for Dog Nation covers recruiting. But I think what's just as important for Georgia's future is not just getting the right player, signing the five-star player, that elite talent, but it's what they do when they get on campus. And very interesting point. I asked Eric, what would he tell his former self about what all he had to learn in order to really crack the lineup and earn a big slab of reps at Georgia? And the things that he spoke about and the help he gets from senior leadership types, even a junior leader like J.R. Reed to go along with DeAndre Baker, I think that's the path every recruit must take at Georgia, regardless of how highly rated they are.
Jeff, it's really fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate that. We'll look forward to catching up with you here on our program really soon. Your Centel Intels at Dog Nation are always great, and it's fun to read them and get a chance to interact with you about them. And I guess we'll chat here soon as well.
Hey, man, in 2029, when you're signing those copies of your book at the bookstore, Lousy and Stinking by Brandon Adams, I want a copy.
Sounds good, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what Dog Nation Daily will look like in 2029 when Georgia's scheduled to play both Clemson and Texas. Will I have, I guess, full gray hair by then? How many years is that? It's like 11 years from now. Full gray hair by then. Hopefully I've lost a few pounds. Maybe that's something to shoot for over the next decade or so, but good stuff with Jeff Centel. Let me also say one more thing about what Jeff said. You know, I don't know what I think about Rodrigo Blankenship and the potential that he could leave after the season. Obviously, I'd love to see him have great NFL success. I'd also like to see him hang around Georgia for a little while longer as well. But I do believe, though, as you head towards the SEC championship, I think there's a narrative evolving. And I'm going to talk about this as part of the SEC Through here in a moment. But I think there's a narrative evolving where Georgia, with all due respect to Alabama, who justifiably will be a big favorite of the Dogs in that game, Georgia is very much, I believe, in the mix for a college football playoff spot, a national championship spot. I'm going to write about this at DogNation.com today. When you compare Georgia to every other potential playoff team, Georgia compares quite favorably right now. I'm talking about based on hard facts, data, stats. I think you'll like this piece coming up later on at DogNation.com. And when you think about Georgia and Alabama in the SEC Championship, that's a tough game for Georgia to win. It's ironic that almost every other opponent in the country would be far easier to beat than Alabama. But beating Alabama, a guy like Rodrigo Blankenship becomes incredibly important. That's an indoor building. That's perfect kicking conditions. A Georgia kicker, much better than an Alabama kicker. That's really one of the reasons why Georgia's got a chance to win that game. With that said, here in our SEC Through, first of all, let me remind you, when you think about the action this weekend, you want to think about my friends at MyBookie. Don't just watch the games. Get some action down on a game and actually get paid when you win. That's what MyBookie's known for. That's why you want to give them a try. Find them online, MyBookie. Just type in MyBookie and then use the promo code DOGNATION. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. It also doesn't have to be college football. It can be hockey, college basketball, NHL. It can be custom player props. It can be in-game wagering. It's all kinds of stuff, but you got to go to MyBookie to find it. You've got to use the promo code DOGNATION, and when you do, your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. They're the only betting service we'd recommend here at DogNation.com because they're the ones that offer the fast, no-hassle payout, and they're the ones that'll give you the 50% bonus. But you got to use Dog Nation as the promo code on your first sign-up. Good luck to you this weekend. Thanks to MyBookie for being a part of the program. And with that said, let me talk a little bit about some of the top national games this weekend and the implications they could have on the playoff, and Georgia in particular. I'm going to try to rattle through some of these as quickly as I possibly can. Let me start with Ohio State taking on Maryland. Here's the thing to think about with Ohio State. If my math is right on this, and y'all check me, 3 of the 4 years of the college football playoff, we've had a team come from this part of the season ranked 7th or below to make the playoff. It was actually Georgia last year. It's been Michigan State. It was Ohio State in the first year of the playoff back in 2014. Ohio State right now is ranked number 10. But I believe that Ohio State has a far better chance of making the playoff than teams ranked ahead of it, like West Virginia, like Oklahoma, like LSU. I believe that Ohio State, by virtue of a head-to-head win against Michigan, is still very much alive in this thing. They are worth paying attention to this weekend. I'll also invite you to pay attention to Northwestern and Minnesota. Obviously, neither of these teams are playoff contenders, but Northwestern has won the Big Ten West. They're ranked, I believe, 24th in the country this week. Watch Northwestern to, if you're the Big Ten, you hope they keep winning, to give the Big Ten East winner a chance to play a ranked team in the Big Ten title game. If Northwestern were to lose, drop out of the rankings, and be like a 6-6 team going into the Big Ten title game, the argument that an Ohio State or a Michigan would have to make the playoff over a team like Alabama, where Alabama lose to Georgia, all of a sudden isn't as great anymore, and that's where the controversy could come in. So believe it or not, Northwestern-Minnesota on Saturday is actually a pretty interesting playoff debate-type game. Syracuse and Notre Dame are both at Yankee Stadium. This is a fun game. Notre Dame, I guess the more I look at them, the more I realize these uniforms are probably pretty ugly. But for Notre Dame, its playoff chances could also be made ugly with a loss to a Syracuse team who is better than you may realize. Syracuse-Notre Dame is a fun game on Saturday. Indiana and Michigan, you know the deal there. Michigan right now looks like one of the four or five best teams in the country. Great defense, pretty good on offense. Does it look ahead to Ohio State on Saturday, or does it stay focused? That'll be worth paying attention to. Duke at Clemson as well. That's another game on Saturday to think about. And everyone seems to have this belief right now that Clemson is just head and shoulders above everybody but Alabama, including Georgia. Once again, you'll read this later on today at DogNation.com. The numbers actually don't exactly suggest that. If you look at like top 30 wins over some of these analytics chart stuff, Clemson doesn't have one yet this year. This is maybe not a Clemson team that's as bulletproof as you might think. And then really quickly here, you've got Kansas at Oklahoma. I simply don't think Oklahoma's defense is good enough to make the college football playoff. They've played too many close games. I think this is a far cry from what it was a year ago. Arizona's at Washington State. The big one for Wazoo is going to be next Friday against Washington in the Apple Cup. That should be fun. And then you've got Cincinnati at UCF as well, a rare ranked opponent for the Golden Knights, and I believe the only team with a winning record that UCF has played all season long, I believe. Game day is there in Orlando tomorrow for the Bearcats and the Golden Knights. That should be interesting to see. We'll make that your SEC through. And by the way, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, speaking of UCF, thought it was interesting. Noted SEC troll Danny Cannell was back at it recently on CBS radio talking about, and I think it's kind of funny that the longtime proponent of the ACC has so little to tout about the ACC, he's had to adopt a new team. I guess the new adopted team for Danny Cannell is UCF, and Cannell goes on CBS Sports Radio and says that he thinks UCF and Georgia are essentially indistinguishable from each other. If you want a good laugh, listen to Danny Cannell trying to talk down Georgia and talk up UCF. Take a listen to this.
UCF could go toe-to-toe with Georgia just the same way that Oklahoma did last year in the Rose Bowl. Everybody complained about that game when Georgia gave up over 500 yards of total offense. Nobody had a problem with that. And Oklahoma almost won with an incredible offense and a subpar defense. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what UCF has. They have an incredible offense on their side of the ball with McKenzie Milton, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They go up tempo. They're used to getting scored on. Georgia's not. That game would come down to the wire just the same way that the Rose Bowl did.
I love the argument from Cannell, which apparently he's making, that what makes UCF dangerous is they're somehow used to getting scored on. That Georgia being in a game where it's not used to getting scored on might somehow be a disadvantage. There's obviously a lot to laugh about when it comes to that. The overall truth is sometimes I don't mind Cannell's shtick. I like pro wrestling. I believe that Cannell is a pro wrestler. And to a certain extent, I don't mind that necessarily. The argument on its face is ridiculous. I am not pro UCF, even in comparison to other teams besides Georgia. I think if UCF's going to make a case for the college football playoff, they might as well make an argument to also be in the Super Bowl. They are a good football team. They just don't play the same brand of the sport that teams like Georgia do. As I said before, I mean, the kinds of teams that UCF plays on a regular fall Saturday is totally laughable. And to make the comparison, forget Georgia for a moment. To make a comparison that Cannell does there, that UCF is a lot like the Oklahoma team that Georgia played in the Rose Bowl, that's even more ridiculous. I mean, McKenzie Milton's not a bad quarterback, but Baker Mayfield was the Heisman Trophy winner, for goodness sakes. And Oklahoma had beaten Ohio State. So Oklahoma, Georgia's opponent in the Rose Bowl last year, who did move the football, especially in the first half against the Bulldogs, that was a team that had greatly validated itself before it got to Pasadena in a way that UCF is just not capable of, beating kind of a banged up, unmotivated Auburn team, really the only claim to fame for UCF. I find that argument to be totally, totally laughable. And as I said before, if you look at what Georgia has done over the last few weeks, in its win against Kentucky, its win against Auburn, really even the win against Florida, after that setback against LSU, which admittedly was not a good day for the Dogs, statistically speaking, Georgia has raised its level of play to a mighty degree. A lot of that's based on the health of guys like DeAndre Swift. The running game is going. Jake Fromm has kind of tightened things up. This is a Georgia team really more so on offense right now than defense, but even the defense is coming along. This is a Georgia team that right now is every bit in the college football playoff conversation the same way it was this time a year ago. It certainly appears that Alabama's unbeatable because of what it's done over the last few weeks. But let's see how true that still looks over the course of these next two Saturdays. I think that Georgia goes into the SEC championship game, even if Danny Cannell doesn't seem to believe this, with a decent chance of beating Alabama, and then a very good chance of beating everybody else. But before we move on here, now I don't like doing things that only translate to video. I don't like leaving out the podcast audience and our radio audience. I think it's also important to rebut one more thing that Danny Cannell kind of says, and I think, yeah, it requires video only to be able to do this for a moment. Remember, the kind of guy that would say UCF, this glorified high school team from down in Orlando, could go toe-to-toe, head-to-head with Georgia and do just fine. It's important to remember that Danny Cannell, the guy that says things like that, actually dresses exactly the way that you think he would. We'll show you the picture here. This is a guy who's tried to bring turtlenecks back into a fashion here. If you're watching on video right now, that's the outfit of choice for the pro-UCF crowd, which really, I think, is the only thing you need to know to understand kind of why Cannell would say the way that he said. And, you know, and with that said, let's just wrap up the show. All right, a couple things before we go. By the way, I would not mind, though, seeing UCF and Florida in a bowl game. I don't know that UCF-Georgia is a very good matchup right now, but two teams that have been ranked very close to each other for most of the season, or at least lately, UCF and Florida, Florida trying to get to a 9-3 in the regular season, that's a pretty fun bowl game. I wouldn't mind seeing that happen. Speaking of those lousy, stinking Gators, it has now been 748 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. So maybe a matchup with UCF's not a bad idea. Maybe Florida could beat them because they are not beating Georgia anytime soon. 748 days is what our Gator Hater updater is up to right now. Let me also close up the show with a couple final thoughts on what's going to happen here this weekend. We talked off the top of the show about the Tresman Marshalls and the Trayvon Walkers and the Nolan Smiths all going to see Tennessee against Missouri. I actually think Tennessee's going to lose that game and maybe lose it bad, so I don't think they get a great show there. I'm also curious to see how much Tua Tagovailoa plays against the Citadel and what that can mean for Alabama going forward. Y'all have a great day. Weekend, we'll see you on Monday.